everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I'm Robbie with my co-host Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you?
I'm great. Seeing this episode reminded me of the warm, 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 incredibly too warm summers we have, so I was glad when it was over.
Okay. Also joining us, we have a guest tonight, today, whenever you're listening to this, is a longtime patron. A supporter of the show, has been on a bonus episode with us. Also, a podcaster himself is Robbie Eleanor. Robbie, how are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I'm good. It's almost the weekend, so once we get there, be better.
Of course.
But, you know, things are going well. Before we get going, we are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon. You can support us by going to patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow. Tons of great stuff there. For $2 a month, you get access to all our bonus content. And obviously, there are higher reward levels. You can please check them out. We have some people to thank, Matt.
We do? You mean the best people ever?
Yes. Without qualification, best people ever. We have Kate Moffitt. Thank you very much, Kate.
Thank you, Kate.
Aaron Pock. Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you, Aaron.
And Kevin Soch, one of those. Kevin, thank you, however your last name is pronounced.
Indeed. However it is pronounced, you are awesome.
And also, if you'd like to help us out, give us a good review on iTunes, give us 5 stars, subscribe, and it helps us out. I'm not entirely sure how iTunes algorithm works. I don't think anyone does. But if you do those things, it will help us. So we would appreciate it if you would. This week's episode, Bart of Darkness, episode 1F22, originally aired September 4th, 1994. Episode is back on Sunday night at 8 o'clock, where it has stayed ever since.
Where it belongs, you mean.
Well, okay. Matt has strong feelings about scheduling. Before we get...
I used to, back when I could actually watch TV on TV.
Before we get into the nitty-gritty of this episode, Robbie, I had asked you what upcoming episode you'd like to be on with us. Why did you choose Bart of Darkness?
Well, around the time I started listening to your podcast, you had an episode where you wanted people to list their favorite Bart episode. And Bart's my favorite character, so I didn't have an answer soon enough to answer because I wanted to go back and watch all these episodes. And although this isn't my favorite Bart episode, it's my second favorite. And my favorite is in season 23, so that, you know, I didn't want to wait that long.
That's a long. Yeah, season 23, we're a little bit off from season 23. Yeah.
By then, we'll just have you back anyway. What's your favorite Bart episode?
It's, the name is long, so I'm not sure if I have the correct wording, but it's the incredible fun thing Bart may never do again.
Ooh. Or
will never do again, one or the other.
I'm certain our listeners will correct you.
was that a bad ooh, by the way, Matt?
No. I've recently watched season 23, and I kind of sort of remember that one as being pretty good.
And by Matt means washed, he means he let it air in his house while he did things.
That's true.
It's the one where the family goes on the cruise.
I will watch it again just to make sure it's as awesome as I remember.
This episode was produced during season 5, hence the 1F22 production code. Both this and Lisa's Rival were made after an earthquake. The Northridge earthquake delayed production by about a month. It was written by Dan McGrath, directed by Jim Reardon. I believe Jim Reardon has even said that he's thankful that there was the earthquake because it gave them a little bit more time to fine-tune this episode.
True procrastinator.
Some time is helpful sometimes. So you finished 44th in the rating, Nielsen rating of 8.9, audience share of 17%. Episode was I don't understand that. Audience share of 17%. I don't care. Episode third no, highest rated show of Fox that week. It's really weird how Nielsen ratings work. The chalkboard gag, beans are neither fruit nor musical. I had a shirt that said that on it. With literally Bart in front of a chalkboard with it, the chalkboard saying beans are neither musical.
That's a really random choice for a t-shirt.
I was a child and I saw, I think it was the first Simpsons shirt I'd ever laid eyes on.
Well, I just mean it's a weird choice for them to make a shirt with that chalkboard gag on it.
I think it's like, I don't know, the fact that it appealed to me as a child, it probably is like, hey, is this a safe thing that's not like, not about the, like, last week's episode was about the Brady Bill and gun control, so maybe, I don't know, they just wanted something safe.
That's true.
But I wore that shirt until it had holes in it, and then my mother threw it away. She was right to do it. The couch gag. The family forms the couch, and then the couch sits on them, and they collapse. It's not bad. It's all right.
It's all right.
It's all right. The episode begins. Springfield's really hot. Heat wave. It's the summer. Let's see. Mole Man catches himself on fire with his glasses. Everyone in the wax museum has melted. Hippies singing songs about sunshine get punched.
Who hasn't wanted to punch a busker once in a while, though, right?
Especially ones with guitars in particular.
That's true. It's really hard to punch somebody with a saxophone in their mouth and not hurt your knuckles, but guitars are really easy.
I feel like saxophones are harder to learn how to play. I have more respect for someone who... Guitars are... I mean, I can pick up a guitar and play a little bit of something, and I'm terrible. So, I don't know. Homer has gotten the bright idea of creating a fridge tent, I would call it, I guess.
Homer, my hat goes off to you.
It's cool in here, boy. For the rest of the summer, we can live inside the refrigerator.
Homer, the fridge wasn't meant to be used this way. Although I must say, it's certainly refreshing.
I got the idea when I noticed the refrigerator was cold.
Won't this overload the motor?
Marge, can you set the oven to cold?
You know, call me crazy, but I'm pretty sure refrigerator motors don't sound like that. They will burn out, but I don't think they sound like that.
Would it really burn out? It's not that much more space to keep cold. I mean, it was a relatively tight seal.
When I watched it, that's what I thought. I thought, well, the tent's really sealed, and it should still work, right?
It's true, and their electricity bill will go up quite a bit. But beyond that, I don't see why it wouldn't work.
And there's everything about this little tiny scene. I really like both Homer and Bart are in tidy whities.
Yeah.
Maggie sleeping on the jello. I really like that.
When I watched it as a kid, this episode, because I definitely remember seeing this, I always thought, why don't they just turn the air conditioning on? Because I've never lived somewhere that did not have central air.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, they don't even have a window shaker. Like, I was a poor kid and grew up in the woods, and we had window shakers, which was enough to keep us cool in the Florida summer. So that's saying that the Simpsons don't even have that.
So this is one more time where they're really, really poor.
Yeah, I mean, window shakers, I guess. Well, and yet they buy a... Okay, so let's get ahead of ourselves. Basically, the family is depressed and hot. Depressed because they're hot, I guess. They're just like...
Makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, they are...
They're more exhausted than depressed because, you know, when you're hot, all you can pretty much be is exhausted.
They're all lying around the house. We get an ice cream truck without ice cream, taunting the children. Yeah,
ice cream teas is what I call that.
Yeah. Instead they get a hot Texas chili truck driving by with all the boiling water you could ever want. Is that what he says? This is all really to get them out on the road with Otto driving a pool mobile, which was a real thing, apparently. I've seen pictures of, like, ones in New York, like a flatbed truck with a pool in the back.
That's just weird.
I don't know. If you live in the city, you don't have a pool, like, and it's hot. And
That's true. I mean, you got to figure they have, like, YMCAs or something like that that would have a pool in the ground. A pool truck, I guess, makes sense. You bring it around to a different neighborhood all the time, but that just seems very specialized.
I'm just saying that there are pictures. It's historical records, man. I can't fight history.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I can't say I've ever seen a pool truck. There was a lot of public pools around when I was a kid, but...
Yeah, this picture is in black and white, it was an old picture, but it did exist. They can only afford it one day a year, apparently. It's only in the budget for one day a year. Another cruel tease. Martin gets stripped completely of all... How many layers of bathing suit did he have?
I believe 17.
17 layers of bathing suit, all taken from him.
Was that here? I thought that was
Well, it happens again.
Okay. I was throwing that.
No, it happens again. Bart thinks he's going to... Bart lasts 3 seconds underwater when he's going to stow. Yeah. He tries to stow away. He lasts, I counted, three
Mississippi. He's not a very fit individual.
I guess not. He does have the male Simpson gene in there.
I took a note that Bart wants to be Aqualad, but they did not do a very good job.
No, he's not 3 seconds. I'm fairly certain as a child I could do better than 3 seconds. We get the kids, Bart and Lisa. I really like them in this episode in particular, because we kind of get an interesting dynamic between them. And in tandem, they ask Homer for a pool.
Dad!
Yes, Lisa?
Dad, as you know, we've been swimming, and we've developed a taste for it. We both agree that getting our own pool is the only way to go. Now, before you respond, you must understand that your refusal would result in months and months of... Can we have a pool, Dad? 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 Can we have a pool, Dad?
I understand. Let us celebrate our new arrangement with the adding of chocolate to milk.
I did want to say that when I told my sister that this was the episode I picked, she specifically referenced that. And I will tell you guys that if your father is not Homer Simpson, this does not work.
Aww.
I can also deliver that same information. If your father is not Homer Simpson.
That's true. If your father is my father, he will pick you up, put you outside, and lock the door. So he can no longer hear you.
My dad just tuned us out after if we did any of that shenanigans for anything. He just, you know, kept...
Oh, we tried for a pool specifically, and they just kept saying, oh, there's not enough room in the backyard. Well, now there's a hot tub, so I don't know.
Well, I think that tells you what you need to know. They go to the pool salesman, who's actually a keyboardist. He plays keyboard. He's not this is not his real job. He sells them, I believe the Tinkler is what they settle on. It's the model. Yeah, the Tinkler model of pool, but they don't have it assembled. They have to build it themselves.
That's pretty standard for above ground pools.
I would hire someone to do it, to get it done correctly. I don't know. That's just me. I don't have
No one is surprised at that, Robbie.
I don't have that much faith in my abilities. But they try and build a pool. Instead, they build a barn, which a Amish man wandering through compliments them. 'Tis a fine barn.
But it's no pool, English.
Dealt with. The pool is built, and is the moment it is built and full of water, the entire neighborhood of, even, it seems like the entire town's worth of children arrive.
Yeah, it's even kids that aren't even elementary school students. It's older kids, surprisingly, show up that somehow know about it.
And Bart is happy to have them. I think he just likes him and Lisa are ostensibly popular now because they have a pool. Marge is making them, is it just peanut butter sandwiches?
It looks like just peanut butter and jelly, just slap it
I did
on.
Not see any jelly, Matt. I saw only peanut butter.
Okay. Fine, just peanut butter sandwiches, whatever.
Thank you. I was technically correct. And what do we know about being technically correct?
It's the best kind of correct.
Thank you. And they don't know, and frankly, most of the kids don't know who Bart is, don't know anything about the Simpsons, aside from they have a pool and they want to swim in that pool.
They call Marge Mrs. Humperdink.
I thought it was like Humberdale.
Cumberdale? I heard Humperdink because that's my favorite weird name.
Engelbert Humperdink?
Exactly.
Or Cumberdale? Something like that. But, you know, we kind of get some scenes of that. And finally we get the scene that ends the first act with Bart trying to get everyone's attention for the rules on his top of his treehouse.
People, it's time we all discuss the pool safety rules.
Jump, Bart, jump!
You got it.
Hey, Bart, your epidermis is showing.
It is?
Oh. See, epidermis means your hair. So technically, it's true. That's what makes it so funny. Pardon me a moment.
Hey, Nelson, he's really hurt. I think he broke his leg.
I said, ha, ha.
I love how Nelson pauses there to allow Bart to hit before he finishes his sentence.
There's just every, like, that little tiny bit has so much layers to it. Like, Nelson not, like, Nelson saying your epidermis is showing, and then not, he's not even right about what an epidermis is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to mention that, that I assumed that he was correct, that it was actual information when I was younger. And very recently, I was at the doctor's, and there was a thing about skin on the, you know, the monitor that flashes things, and I was like, oh, this whole time I thought it was your hair, but it's the outer layer of your skin.
Yeah, I as a young, as a child, a young adult, I guess, I was like, oh, epidermis. I'm like, I assume the Simpsons would not lie to me. Of course.
Most characters on the Simpsons would not lie to you.
Well,
apparently,
I
Nelson would.
I believe that Nelson believes that the epidermis is your hair. Yeah. You know, I think he thinks that's the truth. But that is just brilliant. Everything about the, and I said, it's so great. But with that, we go to commercial.
And when we come back, we see Bart being raced to the hospital. Time is on the line. And when he gets there, he gets to wait in the waiting room. Well, luckily, a nurse is there to get him a magazine stat.
Well, it's not like he has a skull fracture or anything. It's just his leg.
True. And as far as we know, there's no bone sticking out of his skin. So, you know, it's probably not that bad. But Dr. Hibbert is on hand because Dr. Hibbert's always the only doctor that anyone ever sees in this town besides Dr. Nick to let Bart know that that leg is going to have to come off. Wait, sorry, not leg. The wet bathing suit.
Of course, the same thing. Yeah. An easy mistake.
It's practically the same thing. Bart is, of course, distraught at having to have his leg on a cast. But luckily, Homer chimes in with some helpful advice.
I'm going to miss the whole summer.
Don't worry, boy. When you get a job like me, you'll miss every summer.
Isn't it amazing? The same day you got a pool is the same day we realized we liked you? The timing worked out great, don't you think?
So in addition to Bart's tragedy, Lisa has become very popular thanks to her pool, and she doesn't have to share the spotlight with Bart. Everyone is, they look at Bart with pity and just kind of rush past him into the pool. Even Milhouse, who stops to sign Bart's cast, cannot even finish it, writing the famous Mill Pool with a scribble after it, because he is so incredibly distracted by the pool.
Well, he lost his glasses in there, Matt. He had
yes, of course. The pair he's not wearing, of course.
I mean, yeah, he needed to go get his glasses in the pool.
I was going to ask you guys if you thought people were weirded out by him in a cast, or if they only care about the pool.
Pretty sure they just only care about the pool.
I think it's like he has become the other, and like this episode really nailed. I mean, like he fully embrace, like they fully do Rear Window from basically this point on with Bart, where he becomes an isolated weirdo, and like even Marge says that, and like
that's what happens when you can't get in the pool.
Yeah, and like I think kids like they. I guess kids that age especially, they like they don't know what to do with him. Like Bart and Bart himself. Like begins acting strange when like you can't play with Milhouse. Like it's not like Bart and him are like doing crossword puzzles together. They, you know, Bart and Milhouse like run around and play. I guess they could play video games, but I don't know.
Bone Storm, you know.
Yeah, but some thrill.
Milhouse has long since given up on Bone Storm or hasn't gotten Bone Storm yet.
We're not quite there.
Okay.
But
Bart is unfortunately alone with his brain for the summer, which Bart does not relish the fact. Bart's brain is okay with it and is even a little smug about it. Bart is, of course, trapped in his room once he figures out that even if he hangs out by the pool, no one's going to talk to him. But he laments this with saying that, oh, I can have just as much fun in a bathtub with a garbage bag around his cast. Which is absolutely true. That's all the fun you can have in a pool. You can definitely have in a bathtub.
Have you ever broken a bone, Matt?
I have not. No,
I've broken my arm, and it's kind of. I mean, it's not a leg, so I could still like move around and stuff. But
did you have to shower with one arm out of the shower?
Well, I only had a hard cast for like 2 weeks, and then I had a soft cast, which you can do anything with.
Okay.
Well, I broke my collarbone, but you only had to have a sling for that, so.
Yeah.
That sounds painful.
But it was the entire summer. So
yeah, it's still not great, though. You can't, do much still. You're kind of just like, you're forced to like kind of sit on the sidelines. And that's and that's kind of what we see. And like The Simpsons, like obviously they go way over with that feeling, but I feel like what it feels like when you're a kid.
It may be why I like this episode so much now that I think about it, because it was the first weekend of summer when I broke my collarbone. So I couldn't do anything all summer. I did not go insane like this, but
But after Bart finishes with his limitations, he looks out the window to see a wonderful synchronized swimming number that all the kids participate in. That's really well done.
I want to say this is from, like, obviously, this has to be from a movie. Like, this has to be aping a movie with some big Hollywood movie from 50s or something. I could not find any reference to it.
Yeah, I always assumed that it was, but I couldn't tell you.
What's that actress's name? I can't remember, like, I'm not even trying to guess.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm trying to, like, place it. I can't.
Fair enough. Well, if it comes to mind, you can tell us. Once the synchronized swimming number is over, Bart realizes that he can spend the summer with his old friend Television, and he sees a great Itchy and Scratchy, one of the best Itchy and Scratchies, I'm pretty sure, where Scratchy is walled up a la the Cask of Amontillado, and luckily he has found, you know, dozens of years later, perhaps even centuries, who knows how long Scratchy lives.
Well, they've evolved to a point where they don't talk anymore and have psychic powers. So
the sight of Itchies, you see, you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. I don't know about you guys,
but these Itchies creep me out so much.
Oh yeah, definitely. But at first, Scratchy is treated warmly. They bathe him and feed him and give him new clothes, and then use their telekinetic powers to slice him to ribbons, because that's what advanced societies do. They don't go in for that using your hands thing anymore. It's for babies.
For babies?
Yeah, like in Back to the Future. Come on, Robbie, keep up with the references here.
I can't. I'm not as smart as you, Matt, obviously. You have to be slow. Come on, slow it down a little bit.
Yeah, so, okay, the joke for Robbie and everyone else who didn't get it is in Back to the Future 2, where Marty McFly uses his hands on the classic arcade cabinet in 2015, and the kids call the game a baby's game because you have to use your hands. So apparently in 2015 in the Back to the Future universe, all games are played telepathically.
Williams. Esther Williams is the name of that lady, the actress. Lisa is Williams in the swimming, synchronized swimming number.
Oh, okay.
Well, there's a couple references I don't get.
Esther Williams was before any of us were born, so I think it's okay.
Oh. Fair enough.
In Planet of the Apes, apparently that stuff is from parodying a Star Trek episode.
Oh, yes. I believe that's the episode with the Quatlus as the currency.
It's the, they mentioned it in the commentary. It's from the Star Trek pilot.
Oh, yeah.
Cage? Is that right?
I believe so, yes.
Yes.
I'm going off what they said, because I don't think I've seen it. But...
It's not very good, but, you know.
Well, it's I have the wiki open in front of me. It's from The Menagerie, which used footage from The Cage, which was not shown on television until 1988.
Ooh.
So if you needed such level of nerdy reference information, there you go.
I wouldn't even know without the commentary. I haven't seen a whole lot of original series Star Trek, so
I'm right there with you.
Neither have I. What kind of nerds are we?
Come on, Picard all the way.
Anyway, movie. Well, obviously, Picard and Janeway are right there with Sisko, just behind him. But anyway, moving on back to The Simpsons.
What?
Once Itchy and Scratchy is over, Krusty is out of there for the summer. So they'll be running Classic Krusty, which apparently Krusty used to be a current affairs show in the 60s, as he has as a guest George Meany. I believe he was president of the AFL-CIO. And Krusty wants to discuss the labor crisis in America, which, all right, sure, why not?
It's 1961.
A little curious how old Krusty is, though.
Well, he got his start in the 50s in Tupelo, Missouri, so pretty old.
It's better not to ask those types of questions.
it's like compost. It's a sliding scale.
Yeah, exactly. It's compressed. They're
whatever age we need them to be.
Compressed time scale. That's what it is.
Since Bart is apparent, according to flashback episodes, he should be about the same age as me. But he's still 10, so...
Yeah. except for Bart Hood. When we get to see him grow up into a real person.
Yes, that's true.
But the next morning, after Bart gives up on Krusty, Homer goes out to have a nice morning swim where he unfortunately gets covered in algae because he has not been putting any chlorine in the pool. So Homer being Homer, he immediately overdoes it and puts way too much to the point where the kid's eyes are burning and Milhouse has turned into an albino, apparently, because his hair turns white. At this point, this is the point where Marge starts to worry about Bart. She talks to Lisa and Homer, and her concerns are valid about Bart becoming isolated and weird.
I swear I don't know where the bombs are. Only the miners know that. Maybe this will be Senor Tom. No!
Bart?
Don't turn on that light!
Sorry, I just came to see how you were feeling.
I'm fine, just fine.
What are you writing here, a play?
No.
Yeah-huh. Cast of characters, Viceroy Fizzlebottom, a hearty cherub of a man.
Give me that. It's a work in progress.
Yes, because as we know, the only people who write plays are isolated and weird.
I, for one, am interested in hearing the entirety of Bart's play.
I love the name of the character alone.
So. I know, Viceroy Fizzlebottom? That's good.
Sounds like a WoW gnome more than a real person.
And him playing Stratego by himself is... And giving them characters, that's even... I don't know.
It's what a weird person would do.
Yeah, weirdo Bart. Like, he is getting weird, even, like, for a kid. I think that it successfully communicates. Like Lisa and Marge's reaction to him kind of tell us everything.
I did want to mention that I think it's in this scene where he becomes very upset that Lisa didn't tell him about the Optic Festival.
Yes, as soon as he gets his telescope.
I'm pretty sure Bart would not care at all about an Optic Festival.
Well, you know, no one invited him, so now he's mad about that. Less so than the fact that it was an Optics Festival, I'm sure.
Well, like, he's, you know, he's paranoid and weird. Like, you know, everything's, like, way blown out in his head.
Yeah.
I do, like, Lisa gives him the telescope. I'm like, she hasn't, like, you know, she's caring. Like, that's, I like their relationship in this episode.
Absolutely. That's true. They're both, you know, well, Bart is a little weird and Lisa is definitely trying to help him. And Bart obviously has, you know, a soft spot for his sister, as we've learned many times before.
Mm-hmm.
But once Bart shoos away Lisa after she has given him the telescope, we then cut to Homer and Marge skinny dipping at night. And it's the way these things usually go, because the Simpsons yard is not exactly super private, especially when the police have a helicopter.
Do not be alarmed. Continue swimming naked. Oh, come on. Continue. Come on. Oh.
All right, Lou, open fire.
I love that bit at the end. All right, Lou, open fire.
That is gold. I love it. The delivery and his body language are just, oh.
All right, shoot him down.
Yes.
Oh, but after that brief aside for a gag, we see Bart using his telescope to spy on the neighborhood after he deems the universe so incredibly boring. Of course, everyone in the neighborhood is incredibly boring, especially Principal Skinner. He even sees Jimmy Stewart taking pictures out of with a broken leg similar to his own.
It's Jimmy Stewart's character from Rear Window, which...
Right.
Effectively the same thing.
Jimmy Stewart was one of those guys who pretty much played himself.
He was great at playing himself, though. He's like Denzel Washington. Denzel Washington plays himself in every movie, mm-hmm. or Will Smith always basically plays himself, but he's very good at playing himself.
Michael Cera, Jonah Hill, they always play themselves, but it works for them.
Well, Michael Cera, I think, is forced to play nothing but himself.
That's probably
true. What was that movie? Where he played like the evil, he had like an evil version of himself.
What? I need to know this movie.
Oh, what is it? It's so good. I have it. I'll bring it over on Saturday. What is it? It's really good. Because he plays both versions. He plays like, hey, this is Michael Cera. You know, I'm quiet. I talk like this. And then he also plays like, is it Youth in Revolt, I think. Yeah, Youth in Revolt is the name of it.
Nick Twist and Francois. Interesting.
Yeah, that's a good
one. Well,
you guys should go see that movie, Youth in Revolt. It's underrated.
All right, I'll check it out. Mm-hmm. I usually don't mind him anyway, so...
If no, he's doing I'm perfectly fine with Michael Cera. He plays himself very well.
But anyway, as Bart is putting his telescope away, we hear a woman's horrifying scream. Bart attempts to get the telescope out quickly, but enough time has passed that he feels that he's not going to actually see what happened. When he starts to put it away again, the scream repeats, and Bart is able to get out the telescope, put it on the tripod, clean the lens, and then aim it at Flanders' house, where he sees Flanders lamenting over having killed something, which is funny that Bart can hear everything the Flanders say, which I guess sound carries pretty well.
I would question why Flanders says kill her if it's a plant.
Well, obviously plants are girls. Come on, man.
Maybe, yeah, I don't know. Like, yeah, plants are, I guess if you're gonna, I guess it depends on the plant. Certain plants are probably more masculine. You know, they have more masculine qualities than other masculine qualities.
I guess. I don't know. A ficus seems pretty masculine. So,
my inability to speak is transferring across the airwaves.
Apparently, it's Bart sees.
Oh, I did also want to mention just because it's a little bit of a different view. I took animation in college the first time I went to college, so I love Bart, like, reaching for the telescope with his foot.
Yeah.
It's the animation there is fantastic.
Yeah, it's really, he just gets the edge of it with his toes and pulls close to him, and he wipes the lens. That's I really like that. They have nice little touches. It adds to the realism, like, you know, because they're clearly going for that heightened tension, you know, heightened realism here. So when you have to do those little tiny extra steps that take the extra second or two, like, it really adds to flavor of the rear window.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, once Bart witnesses Flanders and his little bit of a freak out, he also sees Flanders digging a grave in his backyard, once again talking about how could he have done it. And for that, we go to commercial.
Does he hear him say, I'm a mur-diddly erder?
Oh, that's right. That was right before the commercial break.
Yeah,
he says,
man.
Oh, that it can't be what it seems like. And then
Matt,
Flanders responds,
3 weeks in a row, official complaint. You do not pull, I'm a mur-diddly-erder.
How did I not get that? I don't know. I'm so sorry. I apologize to all of our listeners. My bad. Once Bart says that can't be the real Ned Flanders, Flanders responds with, I'm a mur-diddly-erder. And Bart says, well, if it's not Ned Flanders, he's done his homework. And then we cut to commercial.
And I do want to note that he has quite a large grave for a small plant.
All those Flanders muscles. They just get into it.
He is a good digger. Flanders is a good digger, along with Sting and Willie.
Sting, yeah.
And I think, like, I don't know. I can't remember my feelings the first time I saw this episode. I'm truly curious if I ever thought that Flanders may have actually killed Maude.
I really doubt it.
Yeah, it seems.
I want to say that I believed it, but I don't really remember because I saw the episode so many times growing up. You know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
Exactly. The first time is, I mean, I've seen this episode a dozen of times, so it's hard to trace it back. But I don't know. As a kid, I could have. I wouldn't put it past me to go like maybe. Like, and I think they did as much as they could to make it like he could have done it, even though that would have been crazy for the future of The Simpsons if Flanders was a convicted murderer.
Very true.
When we come back from commercial, Bart has, I guess, I don't want to call it an investigation, but he is like, he's trying to convince the family, you know, that Flanders committed this murder and no one believes him. At the same time, Lisa is very happy being popular. And everyone is trying to convince her. We see, what's that name of the little actor kid we saw in,
Rex.
Rex from I Love Lisa. He is back. I think that's who that's supposed to be.
I think so. It really looks like him, but he's a little less more wussy in this one.
He's more Hugh Grantish. He's much like Hugh in Lisa's Wedding, like a very small child version of him.
Lisa has a type. Let's just say it.
Yeah, I mean, we all do. he's not the only one. I really like, is it at this point where we see those three guys and one of them is dunked underneath the water and they're punching the guy underneath the water?
Yes, they're trying to get Lisa's attention.
Yes, I love that. It's like, it perfectly, like, perfectly shows the idiocy of teenage boys. We're like,
I'm sure much worse has gone on, but that's the cleanest thing they can show.
Yeah, exactly. And but word comes around that Martin has his own pool, which is you would think Martin's family with all the money would have an in-ground pool. But
yeah.
Then they have, but he does have, like, he has a fancier above ground pool. I guess that tells you about Springfield, that even like the rich people still have above ground pools.
And he says he'll be the queen of summertime.
Yes, he means king. he means king.
Sure, he does.
Yeah, he means king. Bart overhears Flanders talking to Rod and Todd.
Daddy, where's Mommy? We miss her.
Mommy had to go away. She's with God now.
Yay! Can we go there too?
Soon enough.
Yay!
He's gonna kill Rod and Todd too. That's horrible. In principle.
That is one line I've definitely used plenty in the years since.
That's wrong.
It's horrible. In principle.
Yeah. And like their little, like, their excitement and like little touches like that, it adds to the idea that maybe Flanders did do something. Like, what could that possibly mean? With basically the entire neighborhood of kids immediately abandon Lisa and the pool as soon as a better option emerges.
That is popularity for you.
Yeah, and she is left alone, back to basically the status quo for Lisa, sadly enough. And
stuck with her brain yet
again. There's a lot of nice, like, there we get both to see Bart and Lisa, like, communicating with their brains, which is... It's nice that it's all mostly a Homer thing, but when the other characters do it, I always like it. Because it's kind of, that's how we think. You know, we talk to ourselves inside our head, and that's a...
But do the voices inside our head talk back? That's the real question.
No.
Not at all.
Never.
I do think it's funny. I think all three, Bart, Lisa, and Homer, all speak to their brains in this episode, right?
When does Homer do it?
I don't remember. I for some reason think he did, but maybe he did in this episode. Maybe I'm thinking of the newer episode we just recorded.
I don't think Homer did.
No, I don't think Homer does in this episode, but I like that we get to see Bart and Lisa do it in the same episode and kind of have similar kind of conflicts. With Lisa back to being unpopular, she goes to Bart. She feels bad. She feels guilty. She is, she abandoned him ostensibly to him. You know, she was out there with her quote unquote friends, and he was left alone. And she wants to help him find if Flanders actually did something, even though she herself, I don't know if she actually believes it. I guess the deal is sealed when, the alternative is performing Bart's play with him.
I'm really sorry I've been ignoring you lately. I got carried away with being popular. But now that I'm unpopular again, I want you to know I'm here for you.
You can start making it up to me right now. Flanders is leaving the house. I want you to sneak in there and bring me back some evidence and something sweet for later.
Bart, I'm here for you, but I'm not going to break into somebody's house.
All right, you're right. Let's just forget about that. Here, let me read to you from my play. Kippus for breakfast, Aunt Helga. Is it St. Swithin's Day already? 'Tis, replied Aunt Helga.
I'm going.
Bart definitely has a thing for the Cockney British.
He does. He goes back to that well a lot.
I would love to see that play, just saying.
I know, really. Yeah, it's honestly...
Someone needs to flesh that out so we can see it, even if it's like a short.
I know, really. I honestly have no clue what it'd be about. Like,
apparently St. Swithin's Day, whatever that is.
I don't know. I don't.
Viceroy and Helga.
let me see. St. Swithin's Day.
It's a real thing. I looked it up once, but I don't really care about what it is.
I care. Okay, there's St. Swithin's Day. I guess Swithin's would be with the Cockney accent. Swithin was an Anglo-Saxon bishop of Winchester and subsequently patron saint of Winchester Cathedral. His historical importance as bishop was overshadowed by his reputation for posthumous miracle working.
And that has been your mid-century or mid-millennium British history lesson for the day.
Yeah, it was 800, so the Dark Ages, basically.
I do love in this scene how Bart bosses Lisa around too.
Yeah, well, like he clearly knows, like, oh, I've got her over a barrel. She feels bad. She'll help me.
Guilt is a great tool.
Yeah, I mean, in brothers and sisters, you become experts at it. I certainly did it with my sister from time to time, as children, and sometimes as adults. And Lisa agrees. She sneaks into Flanders' house while he is gone, and unfortunately is trapped, basically, inside by Flanders arriving back. And we get, it's really great because we only see Bart's perspective here. You know, we do not get to, we don't see really Lisa's perspective until, like, it just, the tension has been heightened. You know, we only see what Bart sees. And it reminded me, this whole sequence until, like, we get to the ending, basically, is that it reminded me of Cape Fear a lot, in that it really successfully heightens that tension and that, like, the thriller quality of it. It makes, like, it genuinely is a little bit, like, disheartening, and you're, like, you're actually a little bit anxious. Like, even having watched this episode dozens of times, I know what happened.
You still
happened.
Feel your heart racing a little
bit. You still
go,
like, oh, no. You're, like, you're still, like, you still feel a little bit of that anxiousness that Bart feels. He sees all this, and he attempts to call 911.
I'll save you by calling the police.
Hello, and welcome to the Springfield Police Department Rescue Phone. If you know the name of the felony being committed, press 1. To choose from a list of felonies, press 2. If you are being murdered or are calling from a rotary phone, please stay on the line. You have selected regicide. If you know the name of the king or queen being murdered, press 1.
Good old Simpsons vocabulary. Add regicide.
Regicide in there, but
So does that mean the Springfield police have no dispatchers? It's just like the three cops.
Well, we do see, we see Wingham answer the phone a lot. Like, there's no one else answering the phone. So
you
probably
think that would be someone's job.
No, well, it's Springfield. They probably don't have the budget for it. And maybe, I don't know.
I guess the chief police is also going out on, like, you know, robbery calls.
Exactly. I think that anyone being bad at their job in Springfield should be assumed. Like, I think everyone is always terrible at their job.
Frank Grimes was so weird.
Yes, exactly. But Bart realizes that the police are not going to be helpful in this situation. And he goes, like, hobbles over to the Flanders house, even with a broken leg. In the short distance between the two houses, he manages to step in a trash can, get a garden hose circled around the trash can, a big square of sod fastened to the bottom of the trash can, and then the hose, I believe, it encircles a tricycle, which has connected to a snarling dog.
Yeah, sounds about right.
He's dragging that stuff through the yard into Flanders' house. Lisa realizes Flanders is home and is trying to hide. And at this point we have switched over to basically Lisa's perspective, and she is genuinely terrified as well. And Bart has seen Flanders, and Flanders is carrying an axe. So, I mean, I don't generally carry axes around my house, so it is kind of menacing. And
you don't even have any axes at all.
No.
Yeah, I don't own an axe, for sure.
Yeah, I don't own an axe either. Like, my dad has one because he has to chop wood, but, I don't... Why would I need an axe, man? Yeah.
Well, in case there are any axe murders coming after you. You have to fight axe with axe.
Well,
we can fight fire with axes, but usually fire wins in that case.
I don't know what to say about that. You have to. Is that a law somewhere? Where I didn't know if that unwritten rule where, you know, the only way to
it's
fight
it. Unwritten rules. I mean, you can't fight an axe with a gun or something. That would just be ungentlemanly. You have to walk your 10 paces.
All right,
you know,
axe
one person
axe.
Shoots, the other person throws an axe. You
got
know,
it.
That's the way it goes.
Keep them. I'll remember.
All the
that.
10 dual commandments.
I've been listening to too much Hamilton. I think.
Maybe.
We get Flanders creeping up the stairs after Lisa has hidden in the attic. And he's singing Mary Had a Little Lamb. I have it right here.
Bringing in the sheep.
Here.
I don't believe. I thought it was great.
Little lamb, little lamb.
Thank you very much, Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Okay, my bad. You are correct.
And it's terrifying. Harry Shearer does a great job with Flanders in this episode. We have seen Flanders as the devil before in Trials of Horror, but it's always like funny scary. It's never like actually
this is just straight up terrifying.
Yeah, it's genuinely creepy. You're like, oh, Flanders, Mr. Nice Guy, is genuinely a little creepy singing that song carrying an axe. Bart manages to get up into the attic just as it seems Flanders is gonna kill Lisa with the axe. But he is only trying to prevent accidents by putting the axe back where it belongs, in its holding place in the attic.
Yep, where little kids can't get to it.
Of course, except Lisa is an 8-year-old and she managed to get up there.
True, but it's up high enough that I don't think she can reach it.
Okay, whatever you need to justify, you know, irresponsible act. I know you're the expert on axes, Matt. I'm going to back off and cede your knowledge.
That's right.
But Bart accuses Flanders of murdering Maude, and he immediately faints.
I did want to bring up that in the commentary, they even laugh about how ridiculous it is that he, like, you know, reaches back to put the axe away.
Of course. Well, I mean, it's you need to have some force to put it away so that, you know, if it requires that force to put it in there, it requires the same force to take it out. You know, it's all about safety.
That checks out. That physics is.
Matt's an axe expert and he agrees. So, and the science expert. He is both our axe and science expert.
axe is my favorite science tool, so there you go.
All right.
Ahead of a scanning electron
microscope. Is that your yearbook quote, Matt? Axe is my favorite science tool.
No, we didn't get yearbook quotes at my school, unfortunately.
Me neither.
But we find out all of this was a big misunderstanding. Maude had gone to God, quote unquote. She had gone to a Christian camp, a Bible camp, to learn how to be more judgmental. We learned that the screaming sound was Flanders screaming, that he had accidentally killed a ficus, was trying to hide it from Maude. Homer doesn't understand all of this until it is explained twice. And doesn't know where Maude is until she actually says, "I'm here. Hello."
It's wrapped up in a neat little package.
It is.
Oh,
it's wrapped
don't
up.
Tell me you didn't pull a sound clip of Homer there.
I did not. You lodged formal
complaint. Oh, man.
Oh.
It's like 2 seconds. I didn't feel like it. I got a lot.
It's so good, though.
I keep track of how much time of clips I pulled. this episode was quite a hefty amount.
All right.
Okay. It's slide. Okay. Good. Thankful. Thank you. Appreciate that. The episode ends, however, with Martin in his pool with him trying to cram in as many kids as possible. They get one too many. The pool collapses. And if that was not enough embarrassment, they also pants him. And the episode ends with him singing across the sea naked in his backyard in the remains of his pool.
Oh, poor Martin.
Now, you guys, what episode ends with Born Free? Do you guys, off the top of your heads, remember that?
It's the Homer boxing episode. Because in the end, Mo is the fan man saving people.
Is that Born Free? Okay. I was like thinking like it's Born Free at the end is because he's naked, but no, he's singing Across the Sea because the Bobby Darin song Across the Sea. That's how the episode ends. It's a very good, I would maybe even say a great episode. But yeah, I don't know. It really does a great film parody of Rear Window. It is a great Bart episode. It's even a great Bart Lisa episode in a lot of ways. I really like how they play off each other. Homer and Marge are both like really in character, really funny. Flanders is great. I like a little bit of weird character stuff with Flanders that makes him creepy, but then like they completely subvert that with him like having had the really high pitched scream. I don't know. It's just extremely well executed, really tight.
I think
it really is, because there's really only the one plot. There's no B plot to distract from the main one, and everything flows so incredibly well, and there is not a second wasted in this episode. Every second in the episode is used to either further the suspense or the story itself. It is so incredibly tight. It's amazing that they were able to cut it down to the bone like that.
It kind of makes me think of a recent episode of how tight it was, the Valentine's Day episode. I was loving the Frank stuff, but when they go to Grandpa, I was like, oh, I wish they would just do the whole thing with Frank.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I wish, yeah, I think we even touched on that. Like, they needed to do one of those things. Like,
yeah, they could. That could have been two episodes, yeah, and it would have been fine.
Yeah,
but
yeah, having both those things did not work out.
Yeah, I was jumping back and forth, but this episode was so perfect with one story that was good enough to carry the whole episode. You didn't need some random B plot thrown in there, you know?
No, and it all worked together. Like, it feels very natural. Like, the whole, like, it's all about the summer and the pool and Bart. Like, all the thematically, it all works really well. And talk, like, we'll see where we rank it at the end of the show. I'm not sure, but we'll see where it goes.
All right.
Next up, our next segment is my favorite episode, and we had not one but two submissions for this, for my favorite episode.
What?
It's crazy. Our first is from Joanna. Hi, Robbie and Matt. Wow, this is hard. As any longtime Simpsons fan knows, picking just one is a horribly difficult ordeal. I went with Bart in Darkness because it's one of those episodes that always comes to mind when thinking of The Simpsons. I love all the gags in this episode, especially Martin Prince's multiple bathing suits, Lisa's mature talk to Homer about how his refusal will lead to months and months of can we have a pool, Dad? Can we have a pool, Dad? Etc. etc. And Homer's, I understand, let's celebrate our arrangement with the adding of chocolate to milk. And finally, Nelson's, your epidermis is showing, thinking it means air. I love how well they portrayed the whole family in this episode, with Marge ending up making sandwiches for all the kids, Homer enjoying the kid-free mornings, Lisa basking in her newfound popularity, with even the bigger boys vying for her attention, and Bart's depression and obsession with Flanders since he has nothing else to do. Poor pre-smartphone, computer, tablets youth of these. Ned's subplot was well played, as every clue was just Flanders' own tendency for drama, his scream, really. I basically love almost all of Season 6's episodes, with Lisa's wedding a close second place, but I choose this one, as it's actually canon. That's true, I guess. Lisa's wedding thing is, I think happens, but it
could not be canon, couldn't
it? Yeah, it will happen, but
yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of assume all the future episodes happened regardless of how much they contradict each other.
Yeah, everything.
Multiple
everything,
universes.
Yeah, it's the Grant Morrison.
I assume, you know, Bart met Jenna in high school. He had some crappy band with Ralph. Got things together, got married, got divorced, eventually, you know, got his life together and became, was it Superior Court Justice?
Supreme Court Justice, of course, yes. All those things all happened. It will happen in the indeterminate future. Our second My Favorite Episode submission is from Steven, who got it just under the wire. He had a tweet at me to make sure we hadn't recorded yet. Hi, Matt and Robbie. You've at long last arrived at my absolute favorite episode, Bart of Darkness. This is hands down one of the funniest episodes of the series. A slew of pool and summer jokes. When you get a job like me, you'll miss every summer. Not to mention a genius that is classic Krusty. First 5 minutes is so light humor-wise that when the episode takes a shift into darker territory after Bart breaks his leg, it manages to significantly up the hilarity. Bart's play, the deadpan response having missed the Optics Festival, and Lisa's shallowness in the face of popularity. Even without the on-point Hitchcock references, Jimmy Stewart especially, the incredibly obscure jokes, Dial 5, Hashtag 96 for Regicide, and the stuff that ends up sticking with me a lot more now that I'm older, Maude explaining she was at Bible camp, learning how to be more judgmental. Now I'm off to enjoy boiling hot Texas-style ginger ale. It was ginger ale, that's what it was. Boiling hot Texas-style ginger ale, and to watch Fox, where there's something ribald on, no doubt. Thanks, and keep up the good work. Steven, if you guys have a future episode that is your favorite, you'd like to send in an email explaining why, some emails at simpsonshowpod@gmail.com, and I'll read it when we get there. Next up is time for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments from the news group is where I will go to the old alt.tv.simpsons news group and comb through it a week or two after the episode is debuted, see what people are talking about, see what they think about the episode. Generally, it's negative. the news, there's Simpsons is syndicated. That's the big, everyone is excited on the news group. Like, literally, like, it is full of people like, okay, I'm in LA, who's syndicating the Simpsons? I'm in Chicago, I'm in Florida, I'm in Wisconsin. What station do I need to watch to get the Simpsons syndicated? Like, oh, now I get to watch it twice a day. They're really excited. And for a time before DVDs, before even, like, you could get a series on VHS or anything like that, that wasn't a solution. it is exciting. It's neat because before this, they were taping individual episodes and sending them across the country.
Yeah, I definitely, as a kid, if I liked a show, I just taped it constantly so that I could watch it as much as I wanted.
I remember, the episodes of The Simpsons I had taped stand out in my mind in particular. I knew which I can immediately go, yes, I had that one on tape because I watched it way more than all the others. Yeah, go ahead.
I remember having Three Men in a Comic Book taped because I saw the commercial and I saw Bartman and went, oh my god, I need to tape this. Even though that joke is 3 seconds. But I definitely loved that episode growing up because, you know, it had to do with stuff I liked and I watched it a million times. So I really, you know, those certain episodes really jump out at you.
And I mean, now we're we're kind of used to it that it's syndicated. You know, I can just, I remember, in high school, I can just get home, and at 6 o'clock, I can watch The Simpsons for basically 2 hours straight if I want.
Yeah.
And before this time, you couldn't. And I understand the excitement. As for general thoughts about this, in particular this episode, it's fine, I guess. Most people on it seem to be okay with this episode. Not many people recognizing the greatness. It's very much yeah, this one's fine. It's a B+. It's a B-. It's not as good as season 3. They go, oh, I can tell this was from the season 5 production run because season 5 wasn't very good. I think it's the internet. Even then, I think attracted more negative opinions. You know, people with negative opinions are probably forthright about them.
Yeah, that's most of the internet reviews I find are of whatever.
Yeah,
it's usually all negative, right?
People like negative, but nothing stood out. No one is calling this the worst episode ever or anything like that. But that's about. There's nothing super noteworthy of the syndication, which is pretty noteworthy. We can move on to our next segment. It's time for the listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
The listener question of the week this week is, what is your favorite season 5 moment? Tons of great answers, tons of response. Appreciate it, you guys. Please keep it up. First, we have Mark at Mark Everclear. His answer, quote unquote, that sounds like a pig fainting. Just had a look at season 5 episode. This is too difficult. Stephanie at SMG0014. Oh my god, where did you get that brownie? It's a wonderful, incredulous reaction for any occasion. Mike at a Mike Bloom type. His answer, one word. Bart, do you want to see my new chainsaw and hockey mask? the way Homer says it, it is exactly one word. Silent Machinery at Silent Machinery. His answer, quote unquote, I don't understand it. That was non-alcoholic champagne. Sam at Flipside, as I am a teacher, his answer, class after class of ugly, ugly children.
There's so many good ones in this season.
I know, it's so good. Zach, his answer, the rake scene from Cape Fear, plain and simple. Abby, my favorite episode from the season is Bartender Child, and Brad Goodman is my number one favorite one-off character. If I had to pick one moment from this episode, it'd be tough, but I think it would have to be Goodman rattling off the feel-bad rainbow, wondering how much of that was improvised by Albert Brooks, uncontrollable falling down, and geriatric profanity disorder, or GPD, our genius. Danny, Homer, alright, we'll need code names. I'll be Q-Ball, Skinner can be 8-Ball, Barney can be 12-Ball, and Mo, you can be Q-Ball. Mo, you're an idiot. Max's answer, the scene in the church at the end of Homer Loves Flanders. I cry every time I see it. Brian, Sideshow Bob's performance of the entire score to the HMS Pinafore. The rakes are a very close second, and Bob getting trampled by elephants not far behind. Can't say it enough. Cape Fear is perfect. Laura's answer, Apu's Billy and the Clonosaurus rant to Principal Skinner and the hilarious delivered. I mean, thank you. Come again. Diego answer, the whole sequence referencing It's a Mad, 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 Mad World from Homer the Vigilante, which is spectacular. And finally, Nick's answer, can't lie, there's a lot to pick from, but this still bit makes me laugh hard, and it's James Taylor, his quote, I'm not as laid back as people think. Now, here's the deal. I'm going to play, and you're going to float there and like it, which I have a soft spot for James Taylor, even when he's being... All right. Robbie, what is your answer?
Well, I do love the brownie bit and the rakes. Those are both fantastic. But I'm going to have to go with from Deep Space Homer when Kent Brockman assumes that giant space ants are coming for them.
Yeah, that's really good.
Hail ants.
I, for one, welcome our new insect overlords. Like, it's, I don't know, the most quoted Simpsons thing, but it's...
No, it just jumped out at me at...
Yeah, as, but it's a moment up... No, but I mean, like, it's close. It has become one of the go-to Simpsons memes, for sure. Matt, your answer?
I also have one from Deep Space Homer, and it's pretty much anything involving the inanimate carbon rod. In Rod we trust, guys. In Rod we trust.
So even now you're stealing the glory from Homer?
Yeah, obviously. Homer didn't fix anything. He didn't hold the door shut with his own muscles. The inanimate carbon rod did. His carbony sinews and muscles.
My answer is similar to Brian. For a moment, I'm going to pinpoint the exact moment. It's when Sideshow Bob is singing the HMS Pinafore, doing a spectacular job. And the moment he shifts from being charming and like grandiose with in uniform and everything, that moment when he pulls a sword and like and points it at Bart and now for final curtain or whatever. What does he exactly says? But just that. That's my favorite thing about Cape Fear is that delicate balance between like absurdity and horror and fear, and it just does it perfectly. All right, next week's question is, what is your favorite summer related episode and or moment?
Oh, that's an easy one. Never think about that one.
I already know your answer, Matt, but there's people who aren't you, so their answers might be different. If you have I'll post this question on all our social media, on our facebook.com/thesimpsonsshowpod, on our Twitter @simpsonsshowpod, and you can email us at simpsonsshowpod@gmail.com. reach out to us at any of those places. Like, follow, subscribe, whatever, you know, buzzwords, social media things. I try and post Simpsons stuff time to time. All right, it is a new season, a fresh start. It is time for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I will each bring three trivia questions, one easy, one medium, and one hard, and try and stump the other. Season 5, which just ended, you know, was for Bart of Darkness, is the first episode of Season 6. I lost our season-long wager. We'll be recording a video of us making and me drinking the milkshake this weekend. By the time you hear this, it will be recorded, and I hope to have it up as soon as I can.
You're a brave man.
Don't worry, we will have a bucket standing by.
I am not a little baby like you, Matt. You know, I will drink it and I will be happy.
It sounds so horrible. I can't even imagine.
I'm going to relish it. I'm going to enjoy every moment. We have a new wager for season 6. I want to phrase it correctly. I'm trying to remember.
Oh, you mean the podcaster who doesn't win?
Yes.
Must mow the...
Yes,
his neighbor's lawn.
Exactly. The podcaster. Yes, in their wife's Sunday best.
I don't have to get my wife to buy a Sunday best that's large enough to fit me.
Well, we can.
I don't think Marge's would actually fit Homer. Right?
Yeah, we might have to improvise a little bit. But yes, the wager from Dead Putting Society. Basically, that will be the stakes for this season. I hope I don't lose. I would much rather drink the milkshake than parade around my yard in a dress.
Your new yard that you're going to get?
I don't know. We'll see. I don't know what I might not even have a yard. I might have to improvise that too.
Maybe you'll have to mow Matt's lawn.
Well, I might not be in Florida. That's the problem.
Yeah.
By the time the end of this season, we'll see. I don't know. I might still be. We'll see. But we've never done a trivia wager episode with a guest. So I'll still have questions. Go ahead, Robbie. What are you saying?
I was just going to say that if I'm competing against someone, like trying to answer quicker, I am incredibly nervous because I think I'm pretty bad at trivia.
No. I'm going to – the caveat here is that my questions will still be for Matt. Matt's questions will still be for me. Your questions will be for both of us.
Okay.
Whew. And if either of us, whoever answered, well, if it's like a multiple, like, we'll go by question, and we can figure it out, but...
Okay, I'm not sure how difficult my questions actually are, but we'll see.
It's fine, but we will get the points if we answer your questions. Whoever gets it right first, I suppose.
Ooh.
So it'll a little extra credit. I'll start us off, Matt. You ready for an easy question?
I'm ready.
All right. And we have a theme, should mention, from these are, again, I'm kind of terrified now, from Neil, movie parody episodes questions. Mine first one is, what is the name of the nanny the Simpsons hire in Simpsons Califragilisticexpialidocious?
Sherry Bobbins.
That is, she's original creation. Like Model Muck and Ricky Rouse.
Ricky Rouse. Good old Ricky Rouse.
Yeah. Give me an easy question, Matt.
What Indiana Jones movie is parodied in Bart's Friend Falls in Love?
It's Indiana Jones and, let's see, I'm trying to replace them. James Last Crusade. And there's, why can't I think? It's not Crystal Skull. And it's not.
Okay. Well, I'll give it to you. I mean, it's the first Indiana Jones.
Yeah, I was going to, like, I'm trying to think of the name of the first Indiana Jones movie. I know it's the first one. It's not the 2, 3, or 4. Well, 4 theoretically does not exist. But Raiders of the Lost Ark.
There you go.
Okay. All right, Matt, your medium question. This is, I don't know if it's hard enough, but I'll give it to you anyway. What is the name of the town the family moves to in Cape Fear?
Oh, we've already had this question.
Do you know the answer?
I believe it's Terror Lake, isn't it?
Is that your final answer?
It is.
You're correct. It's
okay.
Terror Lake.
Woo!
It's a you've got it wrong before. That's why
I have, because I remember the sequence where they're asking him all the questions. I'm like,
yeah, like in the title of the episode, Escape Fear, which, you know, they completely throw you off. All right, give me a medium question, Matt.
Okay. In A Star Is Burns, what film does the majority of Mr. Burns' film parody? Well, I'm not parody, but, you know.
The Simpsons are parodying.
Right.
They're parodying the movie, even if it itself is not, you know, it's not an actual parody.
Right.
Oh, like all I can think of is once. I can only think Barney's movie. The Rose. I wait. Mm-hmm. Why can't I think of it? I can't think of it. What is it?
Lawrence of Arabia.
Of course.
Don't feel so bad. I knew what the movie was, but I couldn't think of the name either.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not one a lot of people have seen.
Well, Matt, I hope you're ready for your hard question. Okay. There are 11 animals mentioned in the song See My Vest. Name them all.
All of them? Are you insane?
I'm not underestimating you anymore, Mr. Ham, all right? You are consistently destroying me in trivia, all right? I've got to step up my game a bit.
And are you ready?
You know, you know this song. Don't give me that.
I don't know all of it. Okay, let's see. There's cat, vampire, bat,
mm-hmm.
gorilla.
Yep.
It's
3.
Poodle.
Mm-hmm. It's 4.
Okay. Oh, God. Greyhound tuxedo, obviously.
That's okay. 5.
Let's see here. African endangered rhino.
I'll give you. It's albino, but I'll give you it.
Albino. Yes. Yeah, sorry. The albino African endangered rhino.
6. Only 5 more. You're halfway. You're over halfway there.
Uh huh. Yeah. I'm out of all the ones I can remember. Gophers.
7.
Oh, man.
I like that you're going completely out of order of the song.
Yeah, I know, because I can't remember how the song starts.
I'm not going to give you it.
I know.
I'm not going to get sucked into that sucker's game of giving clues.
I already said poodle, right?
You did?
Okay.
You're at 7.
I know. These last 4 are going to kill me, I'm sure.
Exactly which 4 you're missing.
Grizzly bear.
3 more to go.
Oh, man. That's it. That's all I can remember.
You're missing, let's see, feel this sweater. There's no better than
authentic Irish setter.
There's try my red robin suit. Comes 1 breast or 2.
Ah.
And turtle's neck. I've got my share.
Oh, turtle's neck. That's the one I had. I was thinking turtle, and I couldn't remember what it actually was.
Well, you just have to say the animal. You didn't have to say the name of the...
I know, but I
see, that would have been that would have been bad, because I would have had, like, to try and match up the animals with their clothing. I think that would have been very difficult. Okay, my hard question.
All right, your hard question. This one's going to take a little more than Simpsons knowledge, since you seem to get me on those all the time.
Oh, God. Am I going to have to sing a song, man, lyric for lyric?
No, you are not this time. You probably know this. I'll give it to you. The lead actor of the movie that Simpson Tide is based on was whom?
The lead? Yep. You mean first build?
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
Okay.
Who the main character was.
Well, I don't know. I would have one of two answers for that. I'll go with my gut and say Sean Connery.
Ooh.
No?
Well,
he's a big character? Is it Denzel Washington? Denzel Washington. No?
No, Alec Baldwin.
Okay. I would say, but Sean Connery is mine. He's not. Is he not first billed? Is Alec Baldwin first billed on Crimson
Tide? Let's go to IMDb. Let's see what IMDb says.
He's a bigger star than Alec Baldwin at the time. True. At the time in particular.
Okay, apparently I'm thinking of a different movie entirely. My bad.
Okay, great. Thanks, man.
You were right. It was Denzel Washington. Sean Connery's not part of this movie. So we're way off.
What? Oh, I'm thinking of Red October. That must be what we're thinking of.
So I said Alec Baldwin. Whoops.
So that's so. Well, I get credit for that, Matt?
I think you get credit because you got Denzel. So
okay, all right. So Denzel Washington, Gene Hackman. Yes, that's Crimson Tide. Red October is Alec Baldwin and Sean Connery.
Yeah.
Oh God. All the submarine movies, they all blend together.
They really do.
The fact that there are multiple submarine movies is pretty ridiculous.
Well, there's a theory that all good types of movies have too. There's the Deep Impact versus Armageddon, and there was
the disease movie with Outbreak, and there's one other at the same time too that did not nearly as well. Armageddon waited way better than Deep Impact.
Oh yeah.
Okay, Robbie, you have some trivia questions for us. Are they all single answer questions?
Of my three questions that I prepared specifically for this, yes. I have a couple of bonus questions, and both of them have multiple answers.
Okay, for the three core questions, whoever answers first will get the points, if we can get it right. For those other questions, I will get one and Matt will get one. If either of us get our questions wrong, we can steal the others.
Ooh.
Okay, so, Robbie, go ahead.
Okay, my easy question is, in Lisa's Rival, Milhouse is chased through a drainpipe by a federal agent in a parody of a scene from what 1993 film?
The Fugitive.
Yes, that's correct. See, I don't think these are that difficult.
Well, that's your easy question. It's supposed
to be easy. That's the easy
question. It's supposed to be easy, you know?
That's true. All right.
I'm not complaining if your questions are a little bit easier than Matt's brutal difficulty.
Yeah, I don't know if these three specifically are very difficult. Well, but
it's fine. It's all right. It's a competition. It's better if we both know the answer anyway.
Okay. My medium question is, in season 20's Wedding for a Disaster, who kidnapped Homer and held him hostage a la Jigsaw, the antagonist from Saw?
Patty? I believe that was Selma.
It is Patty and Selma, yeah.
Dang it! Well, it's both? Ugh. They both got it? It was both of them? Oh, well, I don't think we either get. We each said one of them.
Thought Matt said both.
Okay. No, I said Patty and Matt said Selma, and it's both. All right.
Half a point?
I think it's a wash. We get nothing. But, okay. See, that wasn't bad. We theoretically got it half right, but I don't count half rights for this part. All right, your hard question.
I'm not sure if this is super hard or
it's
easy.
It's fine.
But
no, go ahead.
Anyway, in the Fly versus Fly segment of Treehouse of Horror 8, how much does Homer pay Professor Frank for the matter transporter that turns Bart into a half-boy, half-fly?
$5?
Do you have an answer, Matt?
I'm playing the scene back inside my head.
$5 is not correct.
I know. I realize. I know what it is, I think. I had two answers, and I went, I think I know the actual, my, I know the real answer.
$2?
No.
Is it just $1?
It's 50 cents.
No.
Oh my God.
Really?
Do you guys get to keep trying?
No. We get one guess.
It's 35 cents.
35 cents. That's great. All right. Your first bonus question, give it to Matt. You go ahead, Matt. You get an answer. If you are wrong, uh-oh, I can guess as well. If you're right, you get it.
All
right.
Okay,
this was another, like, along the same theme that I thought of last night, but I wasn't really sure if it if I should use it, but in the Bartman Begins segment of Revenge is a Dish Best Served Three Times in the 18th season, which Simpsons characters do they name as Bartman villains, and what are the names?
I have no idea.
I thought that might be too hard. So I haven't seen that
season nearly enough.
Yeah, I have no answer Robbie, either. I do not have an answer for that one either.
All right. Otto was the Toker.
Oh, God.
Obviously the Joker.
Yes,
Ned Flanders was the Diddler.
Oh, God.
Hans Moleman was Mr. Mole, like a Mr. Freeze type thing. Patty and Selma were Sugar and Spice, kind of like a Two-Face thing. And Lenny was Poison Lenny, who actually turns out to not be a villain, but he's just a transvestite.
Okay.
Wow. All right.
Yes.
All right, you have one more bonus for me, Robbie?
I do.
I hope it's decidedly more easy than that one.
it depends how much you've seen later seasons.
Oh God, then I probably won't get it right. I'll give it a shot.
Okay. In season 23's Holiday of Future Past, specifically, what are the future children's names of the Simpsons children? Bart, Lisa, and Maggie.
I have seen that one. It's been probably since it came out.
Yes, it is a favorite of mine, so I thought that would be a good question for you guys, because I didn't think you guys really seen this period very much.
No, it's not. I've not nearly watched any of the newer much. I can't. I'm not going to hazard a guess. I can't remember. Matt, you have any answers?
Oh, I have seen this episode. I want to say one of them is... No, that's Bart's wife. It's Jinda. No, I can't. I have nothing.
What's the answer, Robbie?
Okay. Maggie's daughter is Maggie Simpson Jr. Lisa's daughter is Zia Simpson.
Zia!
Sorry. And Bart has two sons, one named Kirk and one named Picard.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. That's good, Gag. That's good. I like it. I think. Well, that was fruitless. I got one extra point for the fugitive. That's got an extra point. So I am in the lead after one episode, Woo! Which is exactly the same situation I was in after our first episode of season 5. And we see how that turned out.
Well, it's a new season, right?
Exactly. I just gotta maintain.
Be positive.
I gotta just keep it up. Keep it up. That's exactly right. I think that'll do it for the new Google Trivia Challenge. You guys, if you want to send us in extra trivia or a theme, just any of our social media places, reach out to me, and we'll include it in an episode. And finally, our last segment. It is time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is the part show where Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Whew. Okay. Okay. Number 10 is Deep Space Homer. Matt, is this better than Deep Space Homer?
I would go top 10 for sure.
Yeah, that's where I'm going.
That's where I'm looking too. I was just trying to find an episode to compare it to, and like I looked past that, and I'm like, none of these even come close to it.
Honestly, thematically, like how it feels is closest to Cape Fear. I don't think I would put it that high, but it is certainly like it's a Bart episode. But our highest like straight Bart episode is Bart Gets an F, and that's 14.
Yeah, it's way better.
It's way better than Bart Gets an F. I Deep Space Homer is another great one. I would put it above Space Homer.
Me too.
Definitely.
Mr. Plow is right above that. I think I would put it above Mr. Plow.
Yeah, I would say so.
I would.
I do love Mr. Plow, but...
Yeah, these are all... I think we... I try to say this every... But we're kind of splitting hairs at this point. These are all great episodes.
True, and Rosebud is kind of a Hitchcock picture.
Exactly.
The windows,
that's,
so...
Yeah, Citizen Kane kind of thing. And, like, mm-hmm. It's a heavy movie reference. I think Rosebud is the closest comparison. I think that's where I would put it, right behind Homer Loves Flanders and right above Rosebud. New number 8.
Definitely. I think that's the perfect spot for it.
Okay, you would not argue above Homer Loves Flanders?
No, that was one of the episodes I was really pushing for to try and find my best season 5 moment. So I really, really enjoy that episode. So I think that's a good spot for it.
Okay, yeah. I know how you feel, Robbie, about this episode.
It was up to me. It'd be number 1.
Yes, exactly. I know. But, you know, we have to... I would have certain episodes much higher than they currently are, but, you know, Matt has opinions too.
Yeah, that's true. They're not very good opinions, according to Robbie, but, you know.
From time to time, you have good opinions. Time to time. But I think that's a top 10, any top 10 episode at this point is super strong. It's among great company. It is new number 8, Bart of Darkness, right above Homer. I guess right below Homer Loves Flanders and right above Mr. Plow. No, Rosebud. I can't even. I'm having trouble. Right below Homer Loves Flanders, right above Rosebud, is Bart of Darkness. A great, great episode. Like perfectly constructed. And to really hang in the top 10 at this point, you have to be that. There's not really room for any kind of, I don't know, inconsistency. I guess is where we're at.
There's no room for anything else in the episode. Essentially, it has to be pretty much every second counts for something important,
or is hilarious. But I mean, that is important. But yeah, that was not as hard as I thought it would be. I thought we'd be hemming and hauling. I think we argue more about the lower ranked ones than we do,
or the mid ranked ones.
Or not sure. Yeah, that's true. The mid ranked ones. But number 1 is Cape Fear. And last place is our it works now. Matt fixed the formatting. It is last place is Homer's Odyssey at 103. It'll be down there for a while. it will be supplanted at some point.
Eventually.
Someday.
It might be years from now, literally, but it will happen. I have some in mind that I certainly think are worse. You can find this list at our website. It's simply thesimpsonsshow.com. Find links to everything there, to our Facebook, to our Twitter, to our RSS feed. New episodes, obviously, downloadable and streaming. Find links to our Patreon if you want to help us out, support us. We obviously appreciate it. We are ad-free, and I like to do it that way. What is our next episode, Matt?
Let's check the list since my browser crashed. Is Lisa's Rival. Oh, man, I can't wait.
Another
really... I bet my Wookie.
Yeah, another really good episode. And that's season 6, like season 5, like season 4. Just like episode after episode is good to great. Not many, like, losers among these. But I'm looking forward to talking about it. You know, both me and Matt are big Lisa fans. So we... You know, we're suckers for a good Lisa story. So we'll see where it goes. I don't know. We'll see. I've been surprised. I didn't think Homer's Love Slander was going to be a top 10 episode, and it was. So we'll see where it goes. But yeah. Robbie, before we go.
Yes.
Plug your stuff. You know, you have a podcast. What is it? Tell us about it.
I do. For those of you that listened to the Patreon bonus episode I was on, I'll be repeating myself basically, but. I was inspired to start a podcast partly from you guys and partly from some comic superhero podcasts I listened to. So I decided to put the two themes basically together. And the idea is that my podcast is called Legacy of Power. And it's a podcast where I cover Power Rangers one episode at a time from the beginning. I'm about halfway through season 1. And when this is posted, I've just posted the episode on the Rockstar episode. So...
Legacy of Power, you guys. So yes. Check it out.
It's on Facebook at facebook.com/legacyofpowerpodcast. And if anyone wants to email me, it's legacyofpower@outlook.com.
There you go. I am on Twitter at MixmasterSherial. That's MixmasterSherial. Please check out my comic book podcast, Handsome Boys Comics Hour, on iTunes. You know, it's where podcasts are. You're listening to one. Matt does not participate in social media unless you're a certain level of Patreon backer. You will not find him.
That's true. However, I don't know if you guys have heard, but apparently gravity waves have finally been discovered thanks to the LIGO detector. So I've decided to devote my life to that same pursuit. So if you'd like to contact me, all you'll need to do is to somehow get two black holes to crash together in a some sort of communicative fashion. So just go make some black holes, have them crash together. Morse code probably works at this point, or binary, you know. I understand ASCII. And maybe I'll get back to you. Shoot some lasers out your way.
Every time, Matt, I don't think you could top yourself with, like, the level of scientific nerdery, but you just manage to do it. I don't know how. Every time.
It's a challenge.
You find ways. You know, with your axe mastery, I guess, helps. I think with that, we'll call it a day. I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.